Our scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 16. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells. But no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life, in which He has the final say in everything. Here ends our reading of Scripture. May God help you and me to really understand and to apply God's will to our lives. My friends, it's amazing to see how many dedicated volunteers in this church of ours and in other churches are serving quietly, without fanfare, with love and dedication. And I must be honest with you by saying that we are not unique as a church in that respect. I've seen this many other places, in America, Europe, in Africa. People not understanding a word of English, but people like us, warm-blooded, loving people, and when it comes to the service of the Lord, they never hold back. And in my mind, I often see hundreds and hundreds of people with whom I had the privilege to work in churches through the years, and they're all in glory now. Yeah. Why are they doing so much? Some arrive early on communion Sundays to set the communion table once again prepared for us. Some came to provide for fellowship in Sponsler Hall. Some made sure that we had flowers to decorate and bring into the sanctuary. Others were waiting at the doors to usher us in and to provide printed materials. All essential and necessary services. But we had people who gladly and willingly did that. Worship becomes a sheer joy when many people, seen and unseen, perform functions of devotion, of dedication, and of love. Have you ever wondered about this? We are used to a society where you do a job and you get your pay. The people that I just mentioned do the job, but they don't get no earthly pay. There must be a secret. There is a secret. somehow they touched the face of God. And they decided, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to dedicate myself. And I know many, many people who didn't stand up here this morning. I'm describing you, whether you come from Canada, from all over America. You are here, some of you on vacation, to break away from what you're doing in the church of God somewhere else. Well, before we begin to hand out any credit, let's listen what the Apostle Paul says. He says, the service, is really not our own doing. It's God's doing, and it's God's purpose. It's the times when we allow God to become visible in what we say and do. So there's no glory in it for us. It's God's doing, it's God's purpose. The loving heart of God is beating warmly in and through God's people, here and everywhere. And it's so great. Here are no inferiors or superiors. Not in this church, shouldn't be in any church. Through people like you and me, God's love becomes a visible reality. That's the focus of today's scripture. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, God's various ministries, God's ministries, not ours, God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. And then Paul says it so beautiful. He says, each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person is given something to do to show how important they are. How good they can do these things? No. Paul says, to show who God is. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And when we speak in God's name, we believe with all our hearts that the honor and the glory belong to God. The Super Bowl dramatizes the same principle that we just read about. Not everyone on the team is a quarterback or a running back, because such a team would lose badly. Some will remember that there were 3 losing attempts of the Denver Broncos in the late 80s, when they had only a star quarterback, John Elway, and not much more. They simply didn't make it. This one guy was good, but he couldn't win a trophy. A team effort was needed. There are many examples where even less than perfect players became stars when they were backed up by players with Pro Bowl credentials. Some think that it is easy to build and have a family. Some think it must have been fun to become a Super Bowl team competing on the highest level. We should know it took blood and sweat and tears and failure. Building a family, we are so proud and we like to show it off, our children and our grandchildren. Will anybody say it was easy to build a family? How much dedication, how much love it takes before a family gets an identity and you know who they are and to whom they belong. Building a family. Well, whenever I say something like this, my mind goes back to the comedian Yakov Smirnov when he first came to the United States from Russia. And he says himself that he was unprepared for the incredible variety of instant products available in today's American supermarkets. This is the way he put it. He said, on my first shopping trip, I saw powdered milk, and you just add water and you get milk. He said, then I saw powdered orange juice, and you just add water and you get orange juice. He said, and then I saw baby powder. And I thought to myself, my, what a country. A church family is much like a human family, where it sometimes goes like this. Just listen to these two teenagers. They were talking about their moms and their dads. The one said to the other, you know, I'm really worried. My dad slaves away at his job, and he does all that so that I'll never want for anything and so that I can go to college. And then he goes on, he said, you know, my mom, she spends every day washing and ironing and cleaning up after me. She takes care of me when I'm sick. Can you believe that teenagers do talk about these things sometimes? So his friend says, so, what are you worried about? He said, well, you see, I'm afraid they might try to escape. A church family is like this. And it's the Bible who tells us who we are. And there's a reason why we call our members, friends, and visitors a church family. And the Bible says that God called us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Beautiful in the New Testament, 1 Peter 2 verse 10 makes it so clear. It says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That is who we are. We are God's people. That scares me. Can you imagine the responsibility that we bear? Standing in this pulpit, singing in this choir, sitting in these pews. We are God's people. And this story comes from far. In the Bible, Abram's people always knew who they were in spite of their existence as wanderers. We think, well, Abram had it all and he gets all the honor and glory. No, friends. Abram was their father. But there was a secret in the life of Abram, because God came in the life visible of Abram. People through the ages simply accepted Abram as their father because they felt a real connection with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not Abraham that gave them their identity. It is God that gave them their identity. It still does today, wherever the children of Abraham may roam. And they are proud to tell you their heritage. Well, yes, in the New Testament, we have a claim of our own, not in opposition, but simply telling our own story. We have our own spiritual heritage because we know that the God revealed in Jesus Christ is also our God. That is who we are, and that is all we ever want to be. We are proud to be God's people, God's family, God's children. You may ask, what is so important? Being part of a family? Why do you go on like this, Mr. Minister? What's your idea? You want to pass the collection plate? You want your church to grow? I guess we all do, because we love this church. But the answer is obvious. Because we come here when we are in the deepest need. And God has met us, and God has visited with us time and time again since the 40s. This sanctuary became a residence where people came to communicate with God. And that's where we learned our basic values. Yesterday afternoon, I had the memorial service of one of the very older members of our church, of Betty Smith, right here in the sanctuary. And the family was sitting here. And I recognized some of them because I buried their father and a few weeks ago their sister and yesterday Betty. And there they were, 2, 3, 4 generations saying goodbye, farewell to great, great grandmother. And that's where many of their values originated from. The family gives us our basic support when you and I go out into the world. The family lets us know that we belong and that we are loved. That we can go back there and we shall be welcome and welcome and welcome time and time again. And then Jesus taught that God is like a loving parent. He tells us stories about God to explain how great God really is. And that is the link that makes everything fall in place. We think of God as parent, father, mother, the one from whom we draw our strength and our power and our courage, the one who gives us a vision for today and tomorrow and for years to come. It is within the family of God that people receive their values. It is within the family of God that we draw our support when we have to venture out into the world. God's family is the designated place where we can turn to for love. And you can be sure, if nobody out there even senses or understands that you're suffering, come here on a Sunday and you will find that you are surrounded by people who suffer themselves, but who have discovered the secret of being part of the family of God. Once, says the Bible, once we were no people, but now we are God's people. That's who we are. Look around, you see the family members who are here to receive our love and who in return. And this I want to tell you. There are people visiting with us today and last week and the week before who came expressly because they needed understanding and they needed love. And some of them told me over the phone, I'll be in church on Sunday. And I saw some of them in the first service and 2 of them in this service. Coming with expectation. Putting us to the test. You know what? If they find what they came to seek, not human values, but God's values, they are ready to pay back with love and love, and they want to show us their love. We are one in spirit. We are God's people. We are part of the best family that I've ever heard of. Jesus taught that God is a parent whose love knows no limits. The best story that I can think of to explain is in the touching story of a little girl who one day noticed that her mother had ugly, scarred hands. And you know how honest a kid can be. And the kid blurted it out, "Mom, you have the ugliest hands I've ever seen." And dad was around and he told her, "Sweetheart, you know, when you were a baby, your cradle caught fire and it was Mom who stormed in to pull you out and saved your life." Without missing a beat, the child said, "Oh, Mom, you have the most beautiful hands I ever saw." And many followers of Jesus Christ would tell you today, the nail-pierced hands of Jesus are the most beautiful hands we ever saw. Psalm 84 says, "For one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly." O Lord of hosts, the psalmist said, happy is everyone who trusts in you. And that's the inspiration, that's the witness of many across the world who would rather be doorkeepers in the house of God than anything else. And that is the message that we carry. A message being proclaimed once more, because it was Jesus who said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Do you need that peace? Come to the table. Be reminded of who Jesus is. And you also will find rest for your soul. God is love. And God's love is a love that will never, never let us go. Amen.